Well, I'm glad y'all are here this morning. If you've never been in a service with Brother Ivan Tate, well, praise the Lord, you're in for a great thrill today. And we've known each other for going on 30 years. He is has What Matters Ministry, ministering to widows and orphans all over the world, which we help and support and partner with them in Guatemala and Kenya and everywhere else. And so praise God. It's going to be a real blessing to have him this morning. Brother Ivan, come on up. Y'all give him a hand clap as he comes up.
Thank you, Pastor Robert. Good morning, everybody. Hey, can you put that song While We Wait? It's on my list there. Good morning. Hey, let me start by saying thank you to all of you that are part of helping Casa Angelina Orphanage and also our Africa feeding programs and rescuing and all the things we're doing there. But I do want to say thank you to Pastor Robert and Miss Laura and all of you that are an intricate part of that, because honestly, you may not know this, but Living Waters Church has given millions of dollars to helping orphans and widows at Casa Angelina and also in Africa. Hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, many times, projects are built by you all. You may not know exactly, but I can tell you that we are always going forward, because we have Living Waters Church has got our back. I guess that's the best way to say it. You know, I'm building a vocational school, so I tell Robert that. He says, okay, I want to build it. Like things like that, you know, it's a very godly, but also a very beneficial relationship for the kingdom of God. As every penny you give, of course, is used for orphans. I would never touch a penny of that, because I don't want to go to hell, for one thing. Dear God, you know what I'm saying? I mean, honestly. And so I could be a millionaire. I really could be a millionaire if I kept the money. But I'm not a millionaire. I never wanted to be a millionaire. My wife and I are not rich in any sense of the word. But we do have millions of dollars flow through our hands every year to orphans and widows and the poor. And a lot of that comes from Living Waters Church. Praise God. I didn't tell Robert. I didn't hold a gun to his head. I didn't, like, use witchcraft on him and tell him, if you don't help the poor, you're going to hell, you heathen from the sons of a... I didn't do that kind of Christianity. You know, I didn't say anything. I just said, well, I'm, you know, this is what I'm called to do. And Robert said, oh, well, that's what I want to do. And boom, you know, then it's over. And to God be the glory. You know, to God be the glory for the great things he has done. All right. Thank you very much for giving to Living Waters Church, for being faithful to that. As you know, Robert and the leadership of the church funnel that in the directions that the Holy Spirit tells them, and we're just glad we're part of that. I have a lot of things to say today. Why don't you go ahead and hug somebody and say, you're going to need a little hugging today. Today we're going to talk about the key that unlocks everything you have ever wanted. The key that, if it's not activated, you will end up having a Christianity that does not match up with what the Bible teaches. Most Christians, if not all of them, are not experiencing what the Bible promises. Their walk with God does not match up with what God says their walk with God is supposed to be. And because of that, we have a lot of different types of Christianity, as we have many types of Christians. For example, you have Christianity with worldliness. So you have entire churches that are built on inclusion of all forms of sin. And all those sins are okay because they are covered by grace. You have churches that are legalistic, and unless you go to that church, you're not going to go to heaven. Then you have other churches that have other types of beliefs that do not agree with what the Bible teaches and who Jesus was as a person. You have churches that don't believe that God heals people or delivers people or fixes things or does miracles. And so that kind of Christianity is another type that's not preached anywhere in the Bible. But it is something people have chosen to believe and to follow. So you are always in danger of cutting God's legs off, of cutting God's hands off, of silencing God and making him mute, or of poking God's ears out so he cannot hear anything, or making God an invalid. But this is not what the Bible teaches. None of this. You may have a Christianity that you are not in a position where you have power over the particular sins that you like to practice or may even hate to practice, but because you don't have strength over them, you practice them. You wish you didn't have these particular iniquities, sins, bondages, slaveries, whatever they may be. Or you may have limitations in your ability to forgive certain types of people. There's some you can forgive with the Christianity you have, and some you can't. Or you may be a person that believes that God is not, doesn't really care how you talk. They're just words, and they don't really mean anything. So you may be verbally abusive and have no intention of ever repenting. Or you may have a compassionate God that is reefer friendly. He's not troubled by you smoking pot or using cocaine or heroin or getting drunk. Like, he's not going to send me to hell for anything. So that's what you've concluded and how you've created God for yourself. You've made God in your own image. So all these things happen, and then you end up with religion, the worst of everything. Religion is when churches or people or Christians put God in a category that they can control. So God, you can only speak for 30 minutes. It cannot be anything that makes anybody feel uncomfortable or that requires anybody to change. And we don't want to sing too long, maybe two songs. And they can't be like too intimate or personal. There's a whole category there. So understand what I'm trying to say is there's a key that unlocks for you God himself. It unlocks God. There's a key that unlocks your inheritance because the Bible says that you're joint heirs with God on the day you got saved. So in reality, all Christians are equally rich in inheritance. That inheritance is put in the bank. That bank is called positional righteousness. It means that you have been given a gift to be righteous without behaving righteously. And that gift is called positional righteousness. It allows you to go into a prayer room and talk to a holy God while you are not holy. in behavior, but you're holy through a gift. However, the problem is that if your Christianity is all positional, you don't really experience what's in the bank. You just own it and know you have it, but you don't know how to get it out. So, for example, you will go through your whole life suffering from depression because you don't realize that there is actually a gift in your inheritance called joy that breaks the power of depression permanently and forever. But because you don't know how to withdraw it from your bank account, you don't ever experience it. So in reality, you are the richest poor person in the world. And as you sit there today, you know, experiencing life, you realize, wow, my Christianity is very limited because it's only as big and as strong as that which I have been able to acquire and appropriate and bring into my daily life and behavior. The key that I'm going to talk to you about unlocks all this. If you don't know this key, if you don't apply this key, then it's not going to work. And the sad thing about that is that once you go to church and you don't experience God, and this goes on for years, this is the conclusion you make, is that church is not a place that's as much fun as my club or my bar. I have more fun drinking whiskey and rye, singing "This'll Be the Day That I Die," than going to church. Church is uncomfortable for you. You don't hear God. You don't feel God. And really, the bar is more church to you and more relaxing than the house of God because you don't have the key and you're not using the key. So you're deciding, and so are your children, by the way, they are deciding that church is not really my favorite place, and as soon as I'm old enough, I'm going to stop going to this sad place with these sad people. And this is just not something for me. So if you don't unlock God in church, if you don't unlock the Bible, if you don't unlock your inheritance, if you don't experience miracles, because what child, once he sees a miracle, is not going to believe in God? I know of none that have ever experienced a miracle that are not following God today. All my children are, because they saw miracles since they were little. Personally saw them. We're not talking about miracles that are, oh, I heard about this or I heard about that. No, they saw big balls on the back of people shrink when they laid hands on them. Legs grow out, blind eyes open, deaf ears. People get out of wheelchairs. They've watched people get saved on the streets and gasoline stations and grocery stores, everything. So they know that their God is not a weak God. He's not a powerless God. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this already, you should know that the United States of America is either headed for a revival or is headed for a war. Because I'm telling you right now that darkness is not going to stop because you go to church and just sit there. Something magnificent and marvelous has to happen between your relationship and God, or you are not going to have a country of freedom anymore. You're going to have a country of one kind of freedom, and that kind of freedom is where everything goes, whatever man can imagine, however dark and perverted it can be, it is going to be called freedom. And you have got to understand that unless we have a revival in our churches and a revival in our homes and a revival in our cities, that the devil, like the Bible says, gross darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the last days. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Arise and shine, for the Lord shall pour out his glory upon the church, and the church will be like a city set on a hill, And everybody will know who the real Christians are, and all the faking, all of the denominationalism, all of the man-made religions, all of that is going down the toilet, because the powers of darkness will be too strong and the evil will be too strong. And if you don't have the real Jesus with the real Christianity, then you are not going to make it. The Bible is very clear about that. Even the elect will be deceived. So you got to decide if the Christianity you have is just a bunch of talk. Just talk, but not experience. Talk doesn't do anything. When you really need something, talk doesn't do it. You need to have the manifestation of miracles. You need to have God fixing the things that are broken. Whatever you can't fix, only God can fix. People have demons, ladies and gentlemen. People have demons. Some of you have demons. You don't think you do. And that's why you keep doing bad things, because you have the help of demons. You have partnered with evil spirits, and they are with you. They walk with you everywhere you go, and they anoint you to be full of anger and rage. They anoint you to want to murder and kill people. They anoint you to hate certain types of people and not be able to forgive them. That's demonic. Christians don't do that. We're free from the attributes of Satan and the works of the flesh. We are not given to anger. We are not given to unforgiveness. We are not given to pride and ego and vanity, because we have a living God that walks and talks and that we fellowship with. Though those things may try to come in, he protects us and delivers us from them day by day by day by day. But no day is lived in defeat when we have a daily relationship with him. It's always victory. Go ahead and look at somebody and say, you look like you want to give me something. Go ahead and tell them, you look like you would like to pay my house off, perhaps. Am I hearing from God here? Is this the Lord talking to me? Perhaps my truck is shining in your eyes and you want to see me be liberated from the bondage of pain on that truck. Okay? So if you want all your dreams to come true, if you want God to be who he says he is, if you want the promises to come true, if you want healing manifestations and powers to come true, if you want to have inner peace, inner joy, inner victory, if you want to have victory over all your flesh, over all the negative emotions you have, you want to have victory over your will and victory over your decisions and choices, if you want all your children to get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and have a family full of love and joy, there's a key, one key. And you've got to know it, and you've got to know how it works. So are you with me so far? Okay? So I'm going to give you the key and then the details of it. I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to give it to you in detail so that you can understand that there's not 9 or 10 types of Christianity. There's just one type of Christianity, not a bunch of different types. Okay? And think of it like this. In the church, for example, I named a lot of different types of churches, and there's more. I could go on and on and on. You also have many types of Christians, people who are Christians. You have, for example, Christians that are half lamb, half wolf. Make no mistake, they will rip you to pieces and devour you under the right circumstances. You have Christians that are half lamb, half snake. They will fill your life with venom. They will poison you. They will make you sour. They will offend you. They will slither around you. They will try to seduce your wife. They'll try to get your husband. they're half lamb, half wolf. Half lamb, half snake. Praise the Lord. Everybody look around and say, oh man, I think we ought to go to the next point. This is getting a little bit hairy here. And there's a reason why people are like that. There's a reason. There's a key. All that can stop. Hallelujah. Half lamb, half vulture. See, vultures know each other. Vultures know each other. And they always make friends. Because vultures travel in packs, in flocks, in groups. And they eat dead things. They don't eat things that are alive. They eat dead things. They find that something dead in a person, they will attack that and devour it. You have half lamb, half butchers. You have half lamb, half thieves. Half lamb, half seducers. There are entire Christians that actually go to church just to meet women. That's why they go to church. I've had them tell me. I get women at church. Because they'll believe anything if I'll read the Bible to them. If I will pray with them. It won't be long. I'll have them where I want to have them. Half lamb, half seducers. Very quiet in here. Like the silence of the lambs. See, if you love Jesus, you don't get offended at what I'm saying. Because you know that's me. And what you should do is cry out to God and say, God, I don't want to be that. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. I want to be free. But when a person isn't under the key, then they don't know how to be free, so they feel condemned, and so then they go searching for a church that will tell them it's okay, it's not a big deal who they slept with last night. I don't feel the love right now, so I'm going to go over here and talk to myself and encourage myself. Praise God, Ivan, fabulous preaching. Where are you getting these ideas? Oh my gosh, oh happy day. You're doing amazing. Keep on talking, you're freaking me out. I was hoping for a shot in the arm. I'm getting stripped naked. Oh my Lord, what am I gonna wear when I leave? So, it's like that. Because remember, the way that you protect yourself from God is to get offended at God's people. That's how you can keep God off your back. Just get mad at the preacher, get mad at somebody, you know, just get offended like you have your whole life, like a little baby that you are, and throw your little fit instead of growing up and not being afraid of God and the surgeries he must perform to get the cancers out of our life. We are sick, and we need a surgeon. We don't need some doctor telling us everything's okay when you have fourth stage something. No, you need it out, because that's love. Hallelujah. Go ahead and hug someone and say, he is not talking about me. He's talking about you. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the key? Okay, so here is the key. And let's read, first of all, in Matthew chapter 7. So everything you want is going to be unlocked, as a key's purpose is to unlock what is closed and to give you access to what is hidden. That's the object of a key. It opens what is closed, and it gives you access to what is hidden. This is important to know. Okay, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. The key is this, and I've mentioned this to you, but I've developed this in a way now where I believe it's one of the most significant things that I will be preaching for the rest of my life. And that is that your Savior will get you into heaven, but your Lord will get heaven into you. Let's all say it together. Your Savior will get you into heaven, but your Lord will get heaven into you. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you can have a Savior and go to heaven, but never have a Lord and experience heaven. So the reason why a lot of people do not experience the true Christianity, which is miracles, signs, wonders, love, joy, victory, peace, harmony, supernatural blessings, unity, all you can imagine, calling, destiny, all the beautiful things, prosperity, favor, goodness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness, all that, is because they only have a Savior. They have never made Jesus their Lord. My job this morning is to teach you how to do that, so that at least you know the information, and then you can make your own choices. Hallelujah. So having a Savior is fantastic. Let's all thank God for saving us right now. Would everybody just lift your hands and say, oh God, thank you so much for saving my soul. Thank you so much, God, that I don't have to go to hell because you died on a cross for me, were buried, and rose from the grave, and I get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Now, believing that that Jesus is the Lord is one thing. It's not the same as having a Lord. You can believe in something without being submitted to something. Right? You can believe Jesus is the Lord, but that doesn't mean he's your Lord. And heaven and all of the Bible and everything in there in your inheritance, all the things you need are inside your ability to make Jesus the Lord of your life, not just the Savior of your life. What is the difference? If you have a Savior, for example, and this is why there are so many churches and why there are so many different Christians, is because Christians decide like they would at a cafeteria, a buffet, what parts of God they want and what parts of God they don't want. That is not called Christianity. That is called buffet. You say, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to go to church once a week, and I'm going to sing two songs, and I'm not doing any repenting, I'm not changing anything, I'm not going to get under conviction, nothing like that, and that's going to be it. Always conditions are placed on God. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that you can have heaven in manifestation form, tangibly, if Jesus is just your Lord, your Savior, and then you go and do whatever you want to do without talking to God about it. And that's why we have wild churches now, crazy beliefs now, wild Christians now, because they do whatever they want in every area. They come to church to verify their ticket to heaven, make sure the insurance plan is still in place, and then go and do whatever they want. Those kind of Christians are not going to get anything down here on earth. It may get you to heaven, but it's not going to get heaven down here to you. You have heaven. You have everything. It's yours, positionally, but you got to learn how to get it out of a position into a possession. Go ahead and hug somebody and say, you have needed this your whole life. What is the number one sign? You know, when you look at Jesus, think about this. Jesus is the example of having God be the Lord of his life. And this is the words he said. I can of my own self do nothing. I only do what I see the Father do. And I only say what I hear the Father say. And then you look through the Bible, beginning with Noah, and you go through the Bible and you see men and women that lived this way and the blessings that were on their life. Noah, 100 years of obeying God in the midst of persecution. You have Esther who said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm doing God's will. You have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who said, King, we know that our God can deliver us, but whether he does or whether he doesn't, just know one thing. We're not bowing to your idols. Throw us in the fire, but we're not bowing. You have Ruth who forsook her entire family and said, I want your God because your God is going to be my God. Where you go, I will go. Do not ask me to leave and stop following you because I'm going to follow you no matter what happens. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Glory to God. That's pretty powerful. Hallelujah. Can anybody say, Jesus, help me out? And the reason so many people don't like church is because church is just empty tombs of religious people trying to manipulate God and manipulate people through God. Religion is bad. Hallelujah. So Jesus said it himself, very powerful. He made it clear. And then in the garden, he says it again. Let this cup pass from me if it's not the right time. Let the cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, you need this really bad. So the Bible is full of people like that. Daniel, he said, throw me in the lion's den. Joshua, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Caleb, give me that mountain. I'm taking the mountain. Moses, Abraham, all these people had put God in their life in a way that nobody else had ever done. So that God is no longer misunderstood. He is no longer different than what he truly is. He is the real Bible God, and only the real Bible God and you having a relationship with the real Bible God, the real Bible way, is going to produce for you the Bible promises fulfilled in your life. They are not going to happen. Christianity does not work without this key, other than getting you to heaven. And if that's all you want, that's between you and God, you can be like the thief hanging on the cross. You know, I've never served you, but I'm asking you to have mercy on me now, and you will go to heaven in the very last second of your life. But if you're instantly killed and don't get to do that, I don't know what to tell you. Holla, holla, you better get it together. Praise the Lord. You want to have all this love for your family. Oh, I just want to love my husband. I want to love my wife, and I want to love my children. You're dreaming. You're dreaming. You are not enough. I'm sorry, ladies, but no man can make you happy. And if you're deceived in thinking that your happiness is wrapped around your husband acting the way he should, you're committing emotional, mental suicide. Your husband is crazy. He has no way of stopping that insanity that he was born with genetically. He is a man, not a woman. And I have discovered what women want. Ivan Tate has discovered that. I'm going to tell you here today that I know what women want. Are you ready? They want a person with a man's body and a woman's personality. That's what they want. They want a full man, deep voice, walking, building, breaking, hugging, chasing, attacking. They want a man, but they want a woman's personality, caring, attentive, affectionate, conscientious, honest, clean, domestically driven, understanding, forgiving, able to handle 5 topics in a conversation at one time while both people are talking, or 3 people are talking, or 4 people are talking. Men, I'm telling you, study a woman. This is what a man wants. She wants you to be able to swim and float and surf from conversation to conversation, from topic to topic, going nowhere, leading nowhere, making no sense. But you have to show a sense of awe and a sense of wonder that she could possibly talk this way, have this kind of wisdom, this kind of insight, this kind of sensitivity. You have to touch them while this is going on. And that touching can lead to nothing, absolutely nothing. And it could last as long as 2 or 3 hours of this kind of insanity. And that is what women want. They want you to understand them and to relate to them, to perceive what's wrong without being told. They want you to know their heart, because this is a sign that you truly love them. They want you to remember things that were said in absolute hysteria and insanity 10 to 20 years back. This is a sign of true love. Hallelujah. They want you to know what they mean when they say something else. Go get my purse on the bed. The man gets up, goes upstairs to the bed. There's no purse. He comes back down, angry and mad. Stop sending me to places where things are not. There's no purse on any bed. If she had told a woman to go get that purse, that woman would know what the woman meant. She didn't mean what she said. The purse is on the bed. No, she didn't mean that. She meant somewhere within 100 miles of that bed, there is a purse. Your starting point is just the bed. But the main issue is, do not come back until you have that purse. That's what women know that men don't know. This is how our relationship is with God. Holla, holla. Go ahead and hug somebody and say, I love it when he talks about you. Praise God. I so love it. Let's then go down the list of what it means for Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Number one, the first sign is that you no longer have a free will. You have given your free will to God. Or in other words, before you punch somebody out, you have to ask permission. You don't just start swinging. Rebels and lawless children do that. But you don't do it. You say, Father, may I knock this man out? It will fix everything. No. You're going to tell me no. But this is really necessary. It's really needed. Is there any kind of wiggle room at all in this? No. What do you want me to do then? Because you're my Lord. What do you want me to do? You want me to give him an offering, a $500 offering. Praise you, Jesus, Lamb of God. Well, you're my Lord, so I guess I'll do that. Oh, and you want me to, you want me to send him an offering after this? Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. Not my will, but your will. You see, if you're a Christian that keeps your free will, you're not a Christian of the Bible. You're just an independent cafeteria Christian that picks what you want when you want it, and if you don't want it, you don't take it. Your Christianity will fail you, and it will not work. 2, If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are no longer allowed to have an opinion about anything. Excuse me? Yeah. You don't get to have an opinion. What you get to do is ask God his opinion. Say, God, what's your opinion about this subject? Okay, that's going to be my opinion. And then you do that whether you like it or not. Because he's your Lord. He's not just your Savior. Everybody with me? Three, when Jesus is your Lord, he's enough. You don't need a perfect husband. You don't even need a husband. You don't need a perfect wife. You don't even need a wife. I'm not saying get rid of what you got. You want to go to hell, go ahead. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you, once you have one, that's what you got. You don't just get to just tear it apart. Well, you know, he prays too slow, snores too loud, smells too bad. You know, he reads the Bible too long. I'm sorry. You don't get to do that. Jesus is Lord. You don't get to just choose more wives and more husbands and, you know, bargain for, you know, newer models. No, you got what you got. If it gets 100 pounds heavier than it was when you first got it, then you're going to have to adore those 100 pounds. You're going to be boom, boom. And you're just going to, oh, so much to love there. So much to kiss. Your love's going to have to be way more than that physical, because sooner or later that physical will disappear in 90% of the people. Some of you are ugly when you begin. Imagine what you will be when you're 80 and 90. Because your nose keeps growing and your ears keep growing. They never stop growing. If you have big ears to start with, you're going to have launching ears. You're going to have ears that you're going to have somebody tie you down, because the wind is going to carry you off with those kind of Dumbo things. And you'll... But we love God. So we love our husband, big ears or no ears. We love our wife, heavy, skinny, middle, whatever. We love them. That's the idea. It's called unconditional. That's the idea. It's called unconditional love. That's what's going to make your children love God, is when they can see you at home unconditionally loving each other and unconditionally loving them. That's what's going to make them Christian. But if you're one way at church and a different way at home, you're just going to make a bunch of atheists at your house, because they know whatever it is you're preaching, it's all a bunch of junk and it's not true, and it makes you so mean. I don't want to have anything with your God, with your religion, with anything, because you're the meanest people I've ever met. Number three, four, whatever it is. When Jesus is your Lord, you don't get to complain. There's no complaining in Christianity, just like there's no crying in baseball. There's no complaining. You don't get to go complain about everybody and complain about everything and find fault with everybody. Find fault, well, the preacher, he said this. Sorry. Oh, he was talking about me. Oh, he mentioned that. Oh, somebody had to tell him what he said. That was all about me. Oh, I can't stand that church. Oh, there's too many white people there. Oh, too many black people. Oh, too many brown people. Oh, not enough of everything. Oh, my God, that food was cold. Oh, Jesus, everybody's so fat in here. Oh, Lord, a bunch of skinny people. Everybody needs seaweed here. They don't need a good steak. What's wrong with these people? I need some steak eaters. Glory to God. Five, six, whatever it is. You don't get to throw your anger on people when you have a Lord, because you represent your Lord. You don't get to take anger and throw it on people. Anger is the most destructive force in the world. It will destroy families, churches, communities, and businesses. The last thing you want is to allow anger to be part of your emotional makeup. Hallelujah. Number six or number seven. What am I on? Huh? What is it? Six. So think about, you know, what I'm saying. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, you ask hard questions and you apply the hard answers. You don't say, oh, you know, my wife doesn't really appreciate me at all. She doesn't think I love her. You ask hard questions. Because honestly, if you treat people the right way who are good people, they will always tell you the truth. They're not going to be mean like some people are. You have to have enough discernment to know when people are just wicked. And they won't tell you that you're doing great because they're just wicked. They're full of pride and everything else. But you got. But when you have a good wife and a good husband, you're Christian, have good, they'll tell you, yeah, you make me feel terrible all the time. Or no, my gosh, this is you. I've never been loved like this before. You're like, wow, I mean, I don't know what to say. You're amazing. You cleaned the whole entire living room. You did all the dishes. You fed all the children. You changed diapers. You took the trash out after that. You mowed the lawn. You fixed the doors. The doors are all fixed. You made supper. Who are you? What is going on? Because no one's going to do that. No one's going to do that unless Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're asking hard questions. Oh, Father, I just work a double shift. But my wife has COVID. Why can't she get up? Just make me something. I know she's dying, but let her die serving the Lord. Get up. Make me something. No. Do you see what I'm saying? When Jesus is the Lord of your life, listen to my words, you own nothing. You don't own your money. You don't own your family. You don't own anything. And you have to approach life like that because God is going to tell some of you to give away everything. Give away all your furniture to that new couple that has nothing. Give your extra truck that you don't use to that family. Pay off that family's house. Well, that would take all we have in savings. Give it all away. Why? Why does God want you to tithe, for example? He doesn't want you to tithe because he needs your money. He wants you to tithe so you don't need your money. Because once you don't need your money, he can trust you with his money. And once God can trust you with his money, he's going to send you a lot of money. And you're going to be able to bless people for the rest of your life because you're not a greedy, insecure, poverty mentality driven Christian. You are generous and you take care of the orphan and the widow and you take care of the poor and you build the local church and you win souls and you do what you should do with the life God gave you, which is to do good like Jesus did and go around healing those that are sick and delivering those that are bound up. And opening prison doors and setting captives free and celebrating people and helping people become the true royalty that they are and take Satan off of them and the fingerprints of Satan off of them and remove them, all that darkness off of them. And this is why all veterans are sacred. And that's why all disabled veterans should never have to pay another tax as long as they live. They should have their houses paid for, their cars paid for. They should have gas cards, medical cards. They should have any kind of card anywhere they want to go, at any hospital, with any doctor. It ought to be a law of the land. If there is a disabled veteran, they get everything for free. Get in everywhere, all restaurants, all everywhere. Just get your disabled veteran right in here. What do you want, steak? It's all part of the deal because that is what sacred means. And when you have Jesus as your Lord, you start learning what is truly valuable. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Tell someone next to you, oh, you need this so bad. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, the biggest thing in your life that you want to do is please God. Say it out loud. I want to please God. You're willing to die for the gospel. Say it, I'm willing to die for the gospel. When Jesus is your true Lord, you kill selfishness in your life. You spot it and you kill it. And you say, that is my enemy. That is not a blessing to my wife. That is not a blessing to my children. That is not a blessing to my church. You kill selfishness and pride. You don't get mad at your pastors and preachers because they don't do what you want. They are under the authority of God and have to hear God. You have to learn how to pray for people and keep them in a sacred place so they can hear God. That's why Satan loves churches, is because everybody is so selfish. Right. And, I don't know what number I'm on, and when Jesus is the Lord of your life, you are not impressed with the world. We do not follow the world. We're not impressed by movie stars. We're not impressed by any of the entrepreneurs of the world. We do not look up to them. We do not imitate them. We learn anything that helps us to succeed for the glory of God. But we are not in awe of anybody out there. No musicians, no politicians, nothing. And to find a politician that hasn't been corrupted in some way is a sign and a wonder. But listen to my words. God told me this 2 weeks ago. I'm telling you, you can think I'm crazy, but there is a revival coming of Christians taking over political offices. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have Christians who are going to be the mayor of New York, the mayor of Los Angeles, the mayors of cities, and then they're going to take over all the commissioners' positions, and they're going to be the commissioners, and righteousness is going to rule in some places, not all, but in some places, and Christians are going to have to rise up and run for president, and God is going to bless somebody, man or woman. He's going to bless them, and at least one time, America will know what it's like to have a truly born-again, godly, spirit-filled people in positions of power, the Congress, the Senate, everything. Because right now, Christians have laid down the authority and power of our country in the name of staying in church and separating, and God never told us to do that. This is our country. This is our town. This is our state. These are our places. We should put godly people who are not going to take advantage of anybody, who are not going to use things to promote perversion and every other kind of ungodly thing that'll kill a country, destroy a country, and strip the children to nothing. That is crazy. When they can come into your house and take your child out of your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revival or war, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now. We need to have not to be impressed at all. I'm not impressed, but I love it. I love the world in order to save the world. But I do not follow it or imitate. I don't dress like the world. My hair's not like the world. And I know my wife's, oh, you got to dress a little bit better. But go ahead and hug somebody and say, you got to dress a little bit better. You love God above all things. You never look back. And my final point that I want to give you is that when Jesus is the Lord of your life, you obey when you don't want to. And you do it with joy. And you always ask the right questions of God. What would Jesus do? That's what a man or a woman who has made Jesus the Lord of their life will ask. I know what I want to do, Lord. Am I in unity with you right now? Can I back my car up and slam into that car in the name of the Lord God of Israel? Yeah, because doing what you don't want to do is where you're going to find God. Because your flesh will never lead you to God. It's the Holy Spirit that leads you to God. Not your fleshly desires, not your ego, not your pride, not your vanity, and certainly not your anger. Look at somebody and say, I want everything God has. Praise to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Play that song for me. Now, tonight at 6 o'clock, 6:30, we're going to minister to you on the only thing that truly matters. The only thing that truly matters, ladies and gentlemen, is that you bear fruit. Morning. and that your fruit is wrapped in eternity. And you're going to learn how to bear fruit that lasts. Because you are bearing fruit right now in every area of your life. Either good or bad, and it's coming out. And people have to eat that. And we're going to have an explosive fruit-bearing service tonight at 6:30. I know some of you don't go to church on Sunday night as a rule, but I want to invite you to break the rule of comfort, unless you have to go to work, and try and make it tonight at 6:30. As I promise you, you will be rich when it's all said and done. And I want to lay hands on everybody tonight, anoint you with oil, and believe God for whatever things you need to believe God for. Turn that up a little bit. Would you close your eyes for privacy this morning? Perhaps no one has ever told you how rich you are when you become a Christian. Perhaps your entire life you have been in church and have never found the true riches and wealth of God. But there is one thing you own that nobody can take away from you. And it is the most valuable thing you own. And that is your everlasting soul. Your soul cannot be stolen from you. They can kill your body. They can throw your body in prison. They can lock you up. But your soul belongs to you. You don't have to give your soul to anybody while you live down here. You can keep control of it your entire life. Or you could even give your soul to the devil if you wanted. Or you could give your soul to some other person. Or you could give your soul and your spirit to God. But know this, that on the day you die, at the moment of death, you lose control of your soul. And it reverts back to the Creator and the owner of the soul and spirit, and that is God. So the intelligent thing to do is make sure you have properly managed and taken care of your eternal soul. You do it with your property. Some of you do it with your body. Some of you do it with your marriage. Some of you do it with your job. But you must do it with your soul and your spirit. If you are here this morning and you can be honest with yourself and say, I am not 100% sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I want to go to heaven. I want to wake up with that peace inside me to know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't have that 100% assurance. If that is you, and you're saying right now, I want that, all I'm going to ask you to do right there where you're sitting right now is this. If you want God to put that in your heart, all I want you to do is lift your hand right now high enough for me to see, and then God is going to do a miracle in your life. Oh my gosh. Look at all those hands going up, Lord. Stretch them out where God can see your hand and act and say, I am not ashamed that I need God to do this for me. I'm going to ask you, if you're lifting your hand, to stand up right there where you're at, and I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to settle this once and for all. God is watching you. He is looking at you. He sees where you're at. And Jesus said it this way, if you're ashamed of me in public, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me, then I will introduce you to my Father. And all of you that are standing, whether you are saved and have doubts, or whether you are crossing the bridge for the first time, know that this is going to alter the rest of your life. So all of you together that are standing up, and those of you that are sitting, let us pray this prayer together. Are you ready? Say these words, Lord Jesus, I repent for serving myself. I cast these doubts out of my life. I invite you to save me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Put peace in my heart. And give me a chance and a brand new life. Today, Almighty God, I forgive those that have damaged my life, those that have hurt me, used me, betrayed me. I turn my back on the world and renounce Satan in all of his manifestations. I forgive myself. Thank you, God, for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to heaven. The devil is a liar. Say it, everybody. I'm going to heaven, and the devil is a liar. Keep going on music, you know. Like, you get hypnotized by me, I know, because hypnotizing. But so hands stretched out, all right, to each one of them, and whatever they've gone through in their lives, they need our blessing. Wherever they've been, whatever things that Satan has put on them, and in whatever ways he's tried to damage them, we together stand as an army and part of the family, and we wreck Satan out of their lives. Can you say that out loud? Say, in the name of Jesus, we wreck Satan out of their lives. So we break all family curses off you. All the terrible things that you've seen happen in your family, we break all those off you, off your body, and off your soul, and off your spirit. And we say to you that if you will follow the Lord your God with all your heart and strength and soul and mind, that he will make everything beautiful in his time. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. God bless you all. You may be seated. Give the Lord a big hand this morning. So I don't know what time it is, but I probably went a long time, but it doesn't matter. We'll be here at 6:30 tonight to minister to you. I just want to appeal to you. Try and make it at 6:30. We're going to have a very wonderful time, life-changing time. And I believe that we're in a season of war. And for that, we have to have special training and special preparation. You cannot be in God's playground anymore. We're on the battlefield. You must know how to do the fighting that will get you the victories that you are looking for. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for having me. You know, this is, to me, that Living Waters Church is just my church, you know. This is my church, my wife, all my children see it that way. We love it here. This is our family, and we appreciate it. And thank you for embracing us all these years. And I'm going to ask Pastor Robert to come on up. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you at 6:30. Those of you that make it.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Ivan. Hey, you know, all the things that he was talking about with the orphanage and all, you know, we have for years and years and years just been hooked up and partnered with them to support everything going on over there. And I just want you to know that as you give, you know, as you give, you're sowing in. It's making it all a connection and a giant, I don't know what you'd say, like a giant collective of power that goes into them. And I just want to thank y'all for that. And so, you know, if you want to give an offering tonight, you can do it. We're going to take up an offering. But right now, if you want to sow into their ministry, ushers, help me. Just if you need an offering envelope or you got cash or whatever you want to do, but we want to take up an offering for Ivan right now for this morning, let you be a part of the special blessing. And, you know, you say, well, what's my money going for? Well, we committed $100,000 to go to Kenya to get the orphanage going over there. We're committed to build the vocational school. And so anyway, I mean, you know, we need cash. But God always brings it in, always does it. Amen. It's one thing I've learned about the Lord. Don't have to worry. Do what he says. God make it happen. So put your hand on your offering. Father, I just thank you for it. I just praise you for it. I just believe you, Lord, to bless the offerings, bless these hands, Lord God, bless all these businesses. Lord, you've always just supplied all the money we need to do everything that, God, you called us to do. And so, Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. Just bless them now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and put that song on that he was playing. I like that. And as the buckets are coming by, just stand up and look at those people around you and say, man, I am so glad I came to church. I pray you all were blessed. Were you blessed this morning? Amen. All right. Bless you, Father, as they go, as we leave this building today. I thank you for your good hand upon everyone. I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord, that something snapped inside of each and every person, Lord, and that you are not just our Savior, you are our Lord. So we go out into this world. I thank you that we carry the blessing with us, share it with others, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church. We'll see you here tonight at 6:30.